Thank the Lord this morning for salvation and for His great love to each one of us. The songwriter said, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. And a little child, when the parents know that a child is being expected, that child begins to be loved at that moment. And that child has no conception, as far as we understand, of what's going on, has no idea of the mother, the father that they will have, or how much they are loved. The parents know. That little child is born into this world, cared for, nurtured, fed, cleaned, taught, and probably for a few years, doesn't really understand what love is. Recipient of it, blessed by it, but doesn't really understand it completely. But as they mature, experience, as their emotions develop, understanding develop, they too begin to love. You know, I thank the Lord this morning that God has taught us how to love. And the way He's done that in part is that not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. Then, as we experienced that love, He taught us how to love. He taught us the value of it, the beauty of it, the glory of it, the strength of it. So I thank the Lord this morning that He loved me ere I knew Him. And now I'm glad to say that I love Him and that I love you. That is a wonderful place to be in. Thank the Lord. Over the past few months, off and on, more on than off, we've been talking quite a bit about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm not necessarily going to mention the Holy Spirit, perhaps, in name a lot this morning, but the message is still concerning the blessings of the Holy Spirit, our need of the Holy Spirit. I want us to consider this morning a topic that you've heard about in the news and different places. And the topic I want to consider today is the abuse of power. The abuse of power. When you study the word power in the Bible, it pretty well fits through the Hebrew and the Greek under this category. Force and strength, authority, influence, command, and the right of governing. Now, the word power can have many other applications, but by and large, when you study it in the Bible, it's speaking along those terms. In Matthew 6 and 13, it also speaks about power in the sense of something inherent, as in God. Jesus prayed, "For thine is the power and the glory forever." That word power there comes from a Greek word meaning an inherent authority, something that is of the nature of it, something that is uniquely a part of and inseparable from God. In Matthew 9:6, it speaks about the Son of Man hath power. That word is still in the words of our definition, but it also entails this, capacity and freedom and the right. So the Son of Man has inherent power, authority. He has capacity. So that's part of the definitions that we find in the Bible. In John 10:18, the Lord said He had power to lay His life down. And then He said He had power or authority to take it back up again. Those are just little illustrations of how we're thinking about the word power today in this little message. And it's going to deal with authority and influence and the right of governing. That's how the Lord has seemed to be working with me on this word. Then we come to the word abuse. And put those two words together and we say abuse of power. The word abuse in part means this. To use in an ill way. To ill use. To maltreat. To misuse. To use with a bad motive or to a wrong purpose. It means to pervert the meaning or it means to misapply. So the abuse of power. A lot of times we don't think we have power as an individual. But if you will begin to think of the various ways power can be manifest, what forms it can take and what tools it can use, the influence, the authority that you and me have might astound us if we begin to really and truly think about it. We're not supposed to speak or think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but it didn't say not to think highly of ourselves. We're sons of God. We're children of God. We've got to keep it in proportion, though, don't we? So we all have inherent in us power. We also, by right of who we are, our gender perhaps, whether we're a parent or whether we're a child, an employee or an employer, there are certain strengths and powers and authority that is inherent in jobs. A husband, a wife. We want to be careful as Christians that this awful authority that we have, this tremendous power that we have to influence, this that we have granted to us by God in the man or the woman, the child, that we not abuse that, mistreat it, maltreat it, apply it to selfishness or to ways that become destructive and damaging. God in His Word teaches temperance, balance, things kept in proper sequence and proper order. This morning, I want us to consider that we be very careful not to abuse our power. And I'm talking to every one of us. You little children, I know you probably won't hear all of this or understand it all, but Mama and Daddy will tell you real quick, you got power. You got power. A little babe has got power. A little child through persistence has power. It's just on and on authority is granted to us because we're humans. In life, we understand the power of power, the authority of power, the destructiveness and the creativity of power. So consequently, we have learned in life to limit power. To put restraints on it, governors on it, because we understand the potential there, the potential that's in power to create and make things beautiful, turn the lights on, and first one thing and another, make the car run. But we also understand that there's a potential for misuse. There's a potential for ignorant use. There's a potential for the child to pick up something that's deadly. There is real potential in power then to be misused, to create harm, and to create abuse. So we put governors on things, regulators, we put valves on machinery and pressure tanks. We pass laws as individuals. In countries, we make transformers to step up and step down power. And the Lord in His love to us recognized that it's not in me and you to direct our paths. We need government. We need leadership. And we need authority. And the Lord told you and me that it was expedient. That word should be highlighted in our minds. It is expedient for us that he went away, because he said, if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send in my name, will not come. The Lord has granted to those who will to have a right application of their authority and of their power and of their influence. And he has granted it not through the laws of man. We know how restrictive laws can become, but laws never solve the problem. They're necessary, and I'm not against probably a majority of our laws. But they in and of themselves do not heal or cure or stop the abuse of power. It happens all the time. We see it in families. We see it in governments. We see it everywhere. We see it with a young man with a hot rod, motorcycle. We see an abuse of power in life. It's just something that man really cannot totally control. So the Lord knew that, and he knows that. And he said, I want to give you temperance. I want to give you control. I want to give you something in you, alive, that is a regulator, a governor, a magistrate, if you will. I want to put my laws in your hearts, because granted to you as an individual and as a person of my creation, you have tremendous authority, tremendous power, tremendous influence, and the only way you can safely regulate that is to bring yourself under your Creator, God the Father. Hence, He has granted to us His Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth. I'm going to ask you a question, and please don't take this as sacrilege. What if Jesus had not have sanctified himself? Now, he did do that, so I'm not asking a question that he didn't do. What if Jesus Christ had came into this world, and not sanctified himself? The scripture that we're referring to is in John 17 and 19. I want to just think about it a little bit. Speaking about you and me, and for the apostles and the disciples' sake, for the sake of the church, for the sake, I believe, of mankind. He said something here that I think is important to us, that the captain of our salvation said of himself, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, I know we could get into a religious controversy and debate here. Jesus Christ went into the garden with all power in heaven and earth. He went into the garden knowing he could have called 10 legions of angels. He went into the garden not wanting to go to the cross, as far as I can understand, as a man, as a person. But he said in that prayer of deliverance, he said, but not as I will, but thine be done. What shall I say? Deliver me from this time? But for this cause came I into the world. He said here in John as he prayed, I sanctify myself. Adam Clark used the words this way. I consecrate and devote myself to death, that I may thereby purchase eternal salvation for them. What if Jesus Christ had chosen not to sanctify himself? That's theoretical, didn't happen. But what if he would have come with an abusive spirit, an abusive manner, an abusive way? Matthew 28 and 18. All power, heaven and earth, is given to me. All authority, all rights. I am heard of the Lord, the Father. I came from the Father. I have all authority and all power in heaven and earth. There's nothing kept back from me. There's nothing hidden from me. I can see and I can know and I do all things. I know the thoughts. I know the intents of people. I can hide my appearance or I can manifest my appearance. I have all authority in heaven and earth. Thinking about power this morning, and right now we're thinking about how Jesus Christ had all power. He sanctified, consecrated, dedicated that authority for the good of mankind, for the good of a soul, for your good. And we are to follow Jesus, are we not, Christians? We are to be sanctified, are we not, and meet for the Master's use, are we not? Holy, yes, that word means that, but it means to consecrate and dedicate and apply ourselves as the Master applied Himself. We do others, ourselves, and the community of man a grave, grave injustice when we fail to follow Jesus Christ and sanctify ourselves for a cause greater than we are, for people that don't love us, for those who misunderstand us, for children that disobey us, to take the authority and the power we have as an individual and sanctify it to the Master's use. We already spoke of this. Matthew 26 and 53 and 54, he said, "Don't you think that I could ask the Father and He would presently, right this moment, give me more than 12 legions of angels?" But then in that same scripture, in the 54th verse, "But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled?" Think about it. How can the purpose of God be fulfilled? How can the cause that's greater than I am in my flesh be fulfilled? How can the right thing, how can the good of humanity, how can man have hope, how can man have something set before them that'll break the snares? If I call these 12 legions of angels and I can do that, if I use my power and my authority, how can that which God has meant for good be implemented? Did you know God meant you and me for good? God meant us to love Him and to love one another, to be good parents, righteous men and women, to be a good husband, a good worker, a good wife, godly people in every asset, every aspect of our life. God created us for righteousness and godliness, and in the gospel dispensation, the Christian has been born again to reflect the glory of the love of God in this world. If I and you go about abusing and using and misusing our power to number one self, how can the scriptures be fulfilled so a lost and dying world can see a church, a city set on a hill, the salt of the earth, the light of this world? How can children see Jesus Christ if I as a parent or you as a parent take that inherent authority that comes with being a parent? You don't even have to ask for that authority. It's yours. That little child looks up to you. Why? First of all, because you fed it. Because you rocked it. You held it. You cried with it. You patted it. You fed him or her. You didn't ask for that authority. It's yours. It's given to you. How can we expect to fulfill the scriptures? We take that which is inherent and given to us and misapply it. I believe that's part of what Jesus Christ was saying. I got the power. Make no mistake about it. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. He knew who He was. He knew where He came from. And He knew where He was going. He was confident in Himself. And He had not to prove Himself to anyone. You and me, we are not obligated to prove I'm the boss. or I have this authority. When we start venturing over into those areas, be very careful. There's a place for misuse there. I think about the purpose in misuse, or the, not the purpose, but the result of misuse. And I think how it has always hurt, and it's always presented a warped picture of what it should be like. It's created unstableness in societies, homes, in workplaces. It's been the death of untold millions and maybe a billion. It's created suffering and hardships and depriving people of their basic needs of existence. So the Lord had a higher calling and He recognized it. And we might say, well, yes, He was God. He had a divine nature. You know what? The Lord has made available to us the divine nature. He has given to man, whosoever will, that we might be partakers of His divine nature. We might each one not possess only a knowledge of the Spirit and the nature of Christ and God, but every one of us can be a reservoir or a tent or a tabernacle for the very presence of God in this earth. We can be made partakers, if we will, of the divine nature. So then it's not hard for the Lord to look on us, or hard for us to expect that that nature that is in man through the Spirit dwelling there will also produce the obedience and the regulated use of the power given to every one of us in whatever office of life you or me may find ourselves in. And it varies, and it always is somewhat changing. We have a higher calling, and we know that, than to serve ourselves. See, human power is selfish. Unregulated, ungoverned, it's me and what I want, my will, my way, my fashion, obedience to me. And don't think that the most humblest of humble people in the flesh do not have power and do not exert power. We won't go into all the ways that can happen. But folks, we got power. We can manipulate. We can skew things. We can control other people by our actions and our words. Oh, yes, we can. They may not agree with us. They may not agree with us at all. To abuse our authority or our power and to our right is to limit everything that's good. It's to limit the work of God, the love of God. A misuse of power hurts and never builds up. It takes away from the whole and it restricts freedom. It's detrimental to the kingdom. And a lot of people haven't learned this yet. It's detrimental to oneself. Detrimental to oneself. Did you know that you can take your power in whatever capacity you may view it in and misuse it and win and then lose? You may win the battle. Got your way. Child, children, yeah. There's times you can win. Children playing with children. But you know, in creating that atmosphere of I want, if we've hurt others, used others, touched others' feelings in a negative way, what kind of good feeling comes from that? The whole congregation had to do exactly as I said it because I was the most strong. What kind of joy did that bring in your heart? What kind of peace did that bring in your soul? You won. You won. We can take that into our families, husbands. You can win most of the time if you really want to. Wives. You can win most of the time if you really want to. Get your way. But what's the cost of it? You had power, you had authority. On the job, you may be a supervisor. You may be a disgruntled employee that's got the gift of gab. And you may win your point. But what was the cost of it? Did it bring you peace in your soul? Have you ever heard of the word hollow victory? I've had a few of those. More than I would want to say, and I'd be embarrassed to tell about. But I got my way. But I didn't have anything in my spirit. I didn't ever hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Power. Think about it sometime. This little message today won't have the time. Think about it. How much power you really have. How much power you really have. Over in 2 Corinthians, we're still talking a little bit about the Lord's power. And consider that. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that me and you, through his poverty, might be rich." When I look at the Lord and his use of power, it was good. It was appropriate. It was a benefit to the listener, to the hearer, and to the recipient. He became and he was rich. And I want to tell you something. That's an understatement. When all power and glory has been given unto one individual, rich is a, it's not the right word. But we're human, aren't we? So we have to come up with something. He was rich in authority and glory and power. And what did he do with that? Now, I know we could say his power overcame the devil. And it did. But it was the applied power of God in the right vein, the right place, the right way. But he took the power that was in him and he took on the form of flesh and blood. He became a servant. He took his power and he used it constructively. I wish I could say I had always done that. I'm sorry that I haven't. Jesus Christ took that was granted to him of the Father and was inherent in him, and he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. I guess he must have healed his enemies. I guess he must have healed those that were sinners. I guess he must have done good to those that didn't care anything about him but the loaves and the fishes. He used his power for good. And we're Christians. Lord help us. I see a challenge in this, folks. For me to take that I have and misapply it selfishly, it's wrong. And it'll never, never produce what I want it to produce. I can get my way with my wife, perhaps. But will it endear her, me, to her? I can be the boss. And I can say, "Listen, we can talk all we want, but in the final analysis, I choose." She's submissive, and I could do it. But what good, what profit would come out of that? Would it make me, in her estimation, trustworthy? Would it endear me to her? Folks, me being endeared to her, in my mind, is pretty important. Okay? It's pretty important. We need to be careful. Parents, you got it. You're in charge. But are we endearing ourselves to our children? Are they serving us because mom and dad's got the pocketbook and the big stick? And they got the bed I sleep in? Are we taking that power and authority and using it to endear that child to us and to God? Are we laying for them a foundation of righteousness and holiness? Now you've received from us the best we understood. You go out and get a hold of God for yourself and take what we've given you and build on that and let the Lord teach you that you may go out and the next generation will even be better. Because mom and dad took their power and turned it over to Jesus Christ. Something to think about. Over in Micah, I want to look there a moment. Micah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. Micah 6 and 8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You read in the Bible, and the Bible is replete with teachings that God is interested in the poor. And to oppress the poor is sin. And God will not hold that man or that country guiltless. We got power over, maybe you or me. God has a special place in His heart for them. And He won't hold us guiltless if we abuse them. God came to the neglected. He came to those who were not whole. They were the ones that needed the physician. The Lord is very mindful of those that are oppressed and disenfranchised. So you and me, as His servants on this earth, we need to recognize what's been granted to us just by right of being a man or a woman. No special graces, no special favor. It's just the fact that I've got a personality. I've got a vocabulary. I've got a mind that can think. I can scheme. I can draw up plans. I can pout. I can cry. I can laugh. I can do all manner of things. I can withhold a pledge. I can close up my pocketbook. I can take the keys of the car. I can do a lot of things. I can go around and spread rumors. Power. Power. We all have it. To get our way in a selfish manner is wrong. God is expecting us to take that we have and abandon it for selfish use and give it to Him. Lord, help us. In Leviticus and other chapters of the Bible, the word usury is spoken of. Today we use the word usury as unethical, extreme, taking advantage of interest. Did you know the Jew, as far as I can understand, was not to even take interest of his brother? Period. But to help them. To help them. Did you know the man that has the pocketbook has the power in a lot of cases? And the Lord expects you and me not to take that power of the pocketbook and uses it as a tool to manipulate and extort from others. Or to take others' rights away from them or privileges away from them because we hold the purse strings and they are needy of the money to buy their necessary bread. Hence, they have to come under our control, our way of thinking, so to speak, in order for them to get their daily bread. That's wrong. Yes, we've got the power, and if I've got the power and there's people there that or needy, I can say, well, if you'll do so-and-so, I'll give you this. And I'll give you this to manipulate them to come over to my way, my side, make them appear to be servants to me. That's an abuse of power. We're taking something that we ought to say, here, go buy you a loaf of bread. Buy you a dozen eggs. Here, let me help you pay your electricity bill in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not careful, we'll expect a favor. I say we, I mean a mankind. And we will think that that person now is indebted to me. But on the contrary, God felt indebted to the poor. We should feel indebted to the poor. We should see them as needy and not as a possible tool. And by all means, I'm not saying we do. But we need to understand how much this power that we have inherent in us as a human needs to be given over and controlled by the Spirit of God. Over in Colossians 4 and 1, James 5, 4 and 5. I know I'm not reading all this. Let's read James 4 and 5. Did you know, this is off the subject, but still on it somewhat. You ever thought about a labor union? Now, why would they need a labor union? I'll tell you why they needed it. I'm not advocating them. I'm just stating fact. You know why they needed a labor union? Because employers wouldn't treat the employees fair. You ever heard of sweatshops? Regrettably, maybe some of the garments we have on our back came from one. The reason that labor unions found even a foothold was because the guy that had the paycheck says, you got to work 15 hours a day, and if you don't sew up 150 shirts, you're not going to get anything. Now, that's an extreme. You ever heard of affirmative action? I've got a little running dialogue with some folks in the newspaper. It's on the internet. It's amazing how people view affirmative action. You may like it, you may think it's unfair, but there's a reason for it. It's because the race in power lorded it over the race that wasn't in power. And there was no opportunity given. And people were held back because the people that had the power held them back. Affirmative action, whether you like it or not, it's something that came about because of people abusing their power. Simple as that. Simple as that. So we had to reap it, and we're still reaping it. And maybe it's run its time, maybe it hasn't. Employer relationships. God speaks about that. And in James, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, behold, the hire of the laborer who have reaped down your fields, which is of your own kept back by fraud. In other words, you're holding it back. The company store is, you get paid, but you got credit down at the company store. Old mill towns and lumber camps used to have this. And by the time you fed your family for the week or the 2 weeks, come to find out, you didn't have any money coming. The company store had your paycheck and maybe half of your next one. And you were limited in your freedom. But they had the power. They had the authority to do that with. You kept back by fraud, and they cry. The cries of them which have reaped and are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanting on and on. But do you notice what it said? Their cry has entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. We need to understand that. Don't misuse our power. Because the cry of the abused will enter in to the ears of the Almighty. Parents, children, husbands, wives, employer, employee, people, students, teachers. There were no stopping place. The cry of the abused. You may never hear it. I may never hear it, but it enters in the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. God help us. Power. Too much power for me, folks. In the flesh, I am so sinful. I am so selfish. I am dangerous. And you are too. And I don't mean to upbraid any of us. Too much power. Parents, we spoke on that. You've got absolute control for a few years. Sometimes you don't think you do. In those times you pray, God will show you that you do. We can overcorrect, we can undercorrect. We can, by our words, folks, instill directions in a child without even knowing we're doing that. Did you know our prejudices become their prejudices? I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm going to say this. A black person has never done me wrong. Did you know I was a grown man before I would count them my equal, though? Why? Because it's what I was taught. Had no experience. I came from the prejudiced South, folks. I knew that. Not now, by the grace of God, but yeah, I was there. It was instilled in me as a child that there's a difference. And I can honestly say that this morning. A black person has never, never cheated me or done me wrong. Can't say that about all the white people I know. But do you see what I'm saying? I had a hurdle and I had a barrier to overcome because the power of a society I was raised in, a society of my parents and the teachings that were given to me, and I absorbed it because I was there. Think about it. So my parents, and I love them dearly, and I know they love me. They handicapped me. They handicapped me. And I know I have handicapped my sons. Lord, help us to understand what we have. I hope this is fathers and mothers, and the Bible is replete on this. I don't want to be too redundant. Husbands and wives. Oh, listen, if there's ever sometimes a power struggle, it's here. Us men folks knows what a little pout and some tears can do to us. Women, you can know what the authority of a male voice saying does to you. Power in a husband and a wife. Paul said it this way, husbands, you're the head, but you remember something. Jesus is your head. How's he been doing with you? How's he treated you? Did he slap you? Did he kick you? Did he bemean you? Did he withhold the necessary needs from you? No. Then why are you going to do your wife that way? I'm speaking very general now. No, he didn't do any of that to me. As Christ, I'm for the sake of time, fifth chapter of Ephesians is what I'm referring to. As Christ loved the church and all his power and his glory and his authority was given over and consecrated to God that he might sanctify it and cleanse it and purge it. And that he might present it to his Father, himself, a glorious church. So ought men to love their own wives. And I want to tell you something. We could change the wives and the husbands around and say the same thing. Male-dominated society, perhaps, at that point in time especially, men had more customs and cultures, direct control over every little thing in the life. Different now in that sense. Lord, help us. My little burden this morning is that we don't abuse the power. We don't abuse the authority. Because you look at it, I don't care where you see it, it never produces good. Never produces happiness, never produces joy. You may get your way, a government may get... Hey, we whooped them Iraqis over there, didn't we? Boy, we crushed their army in no time flat. Now we've got the proverbial tiger by the tail. But we won in that sense. It never produces. It never takes away resentment or anger or jealousy. It never causes someone to be endeared to another person. It never benefits those that really and truly we most ought to want to benefit. Well, one last thing, and please bear with me here, because I don't know but what it's the most intangible, yet the most critical. Paul said the greatest of these is love. I want to tell you something, and you know this. If you today are loved by another human being, that is one of the absolute greatest things that will ever happen to you. And you know what you can do with love? It is powerful, folks. It's beyond description to me. You can take love and use it as a tool for the flesh. Well, she loves me. Well, he loves me. Well, I know they don't want to, but they love me. He'll put up, she'll put up, they'll put up with this because they love me. Lord, help us. When you and me start taking the most beautiful thing there is, and that's love of another human being, and we begin to manipulate it and trifle with it, we're abusing it. And did you know what will happen? That love will grow cold. I believe, and I think I've seen this, people fall in love. But that love can wane, and they can fall out of love. And a lot of times we want to blame the person who says, no more, I can't handle it anymore. Well, you just need more grace. Well, granted they may. But what brought them to that point? What made the wife say, I cannot do it anymore? What made the child for that? What made the husband say, this is it? Oh, but brother, you need to have more grace. Let's, by all means, let's encourage them. But let's address the problem. Somebody loved them, or they loved somebody, and they misused it. They became selfish with it. They used it as a way to manipulate and get their way and to lord it over someone else. Let it not be named among us. It doesn't become Christ. It is not an example of Christ. It takes away from the beauty of Christ. It is throwing mud on the name of Christ. The Lord, who was rich in all power and authority, sanctified himself, consecrated himself, and all that he was for mine and your good and for the souls of men. Our last scripture this morning is in 2 Timothy. 2 and 19. Nevertheless, Peter speaks, and I won't go there, but he speaks about you and me being sanctified or through the sanctification of the Spirit. So the Spirit is that which works the sanctified. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. I believe God sets before us today, every day, a choice of whether I am going to be a honor or a dishonor to the cause of Christ, to the name of the Lord, for the glory of the kingdom. Am I going to be a dishonor to a man? Are you going to be a dishonor to the name of a woman, of a parent, of a child, of a husband, of a wife? He sets before us opportunities, and life indeed itself sets before us opportunities that I'm either going to be an honor or a dishonor. May we all this morning choose, by the grace of God, by humbling ourselves before Him, by the sanctification of the Spirit, I choose and desire that I want the power granted unto me by God Himself and by my birth, by my very personality, that it be used in a glorious, redeeming way for mankind. That I want to take my power and consecrate it to the Lord. And He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I would encourage us today. Peter said it this way, not my feet only, but my hands, my head, all of me, that you and me take ourselves and consecrate it to God. Jesus said, I consecrate myself. That you and me take our life with all of its ups, downs, goods, bads, and power and sanctify that to the Master's use. One songwriter said, the graces within are not mine. They belong to the Father Divine. Today, let's choose to be vessels of honor, meet for the Master's use. Let's take our authority, as little as you think it is, and folks, I promise you it's greater than you may think it is. You can control things. You do control things. Take that power and give it to the Lord, that we can then become meet for the Master's use, a vessel of honor. You pray for me.